In the name of Jesus. What a remarkable week we have. On Monday, we were delighted to witness the vicarage assignment. On Tuesday, we rejoiced with the divine call extended and distributed to the candidates. Yesterday, we received the body and blood of our Lord, and also celebrated the day of the evangelist Saint Mark. Is there anything left for today? No, today is not Hitler's birthday, as Professor Ziegler lamented at his first preaching engagement here in chapel. No, today is not another memorable date that some of you might want me to associate with. We return thanks to the Lord today for the birth of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, April 26, 1847, in Chicago. But as we rejoice with the abundance of such Lord's works, however, the same words of the Lord resound in our ears throughout this week as newborn babies long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may increase into your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Alleluia. The introit for the second week of Easter. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, says St. Peter. The phrase, the Lord is good, is the liturgical acclamation and one of the central confession in the Old Testament. We find numerous occurrences of this word in the Psalms and elsewhere. The phrase comes from the account of Exodus and what followed. In the book of Exodus, we are told how the Lord gave his people the gifts of his name, his law, his testament, and his sacrificial services of the tabernacle. Yahweh himself summarizes the purpose of the Exodus in chapter 29, saying, I will dwell in the midst of the sons of Israel, and I will be their God. And they will know that I am Yahweh their God, who caused them to go out from the land of Egypt in order to dwell in the midst of them. I am Yahweh their God. How did the Yahweh dwell among his people and cared for them? The same chapter describes it is through the daily burnt offering services. The Lord says, this is what you are to do on the altar. The word used here for to do in the Septuagint is poiesis, the same language which our Lord Jesus Christ used in to do this in remembrance of me. A soothing order indicated the Lord's acceptance of the sacrifices. There were fire and there were cloud. Yahweh met with his people at his appointed time and appointed place. The main portion of the sacrificial services, which consisted of the rite of atonement, the rite of burnt offerings, and the rite of a sacrificial meal, was the burning of the burnt offerings. It was there, at the altar, that the Lord met with his people, dwelt among them as their God, and blessed them. We are also informed that at the inauguration service at the tabernacle, as Yahweh appeared to the assembly in his glory cloud, sending fire from heaven and burnt the sacrifices, people shouted for joy. At another inauguration occasion of the temple, such shouting was replaced by the song of acclamation. And it is here that we hear the words, for he is good, for his mercy forever. These were the words of faith, rejoicing in the Lord's gracious coming with his forgiveness and blessing. St. Peter uses this phrase, for he is good, in our text because the sacrifice was offered to the Father on the cross. Our forgiveness has been accomplished by our Lord's all-availing vicarious sufferings and death. All of our sins have been answered for. Now they are located on the Lamb of God. In Him, we do not face the wrath of God which we deserve for our sins. Truly, the Lord is good. But St. Peter adds one more word in that acclamation, that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Where does this word to taste come from? It is from Psalm 34, which St. Peter quotes throughout his letter. His use of Psalm 34 confirms that this letter was originally written in the baptismal context. For example, Psalm 34:6 says, "Come to him and fortis theite, be enlightened." Baptism was often called fortismos among the early Christians. In Psalm 34, how curious is Yahweh, but St. Peter in our text identified how curious as Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is the one who is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. When we look through the history of the early church, this verse, "All taste and see that the Lord is good," was repeatedly sung by the choir as the faithful approached the altar to eat and to drink the body and blood of the Lord. Such report is attested by Origen, Cyril of Jerusalem, Jerome, Ambrose, and most of the early liturgies, including St. James, Apostolic Constitutions, Chrysostom, and St. Mark. Why did early church rejoice in this psalm? Cyril gives his answer. After this, namely holy things to the holy people and the response of the people, "One is holy, one is the Lord Jesus Christ," you hear the chanter with a sacred melody inviting you to the communion of the holy mysteries and saying, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Trust not decisions to your bodily palate, no, but to faith unfaltering. For when we taste, we are bidden to taste not bread and wine, but the antitype of the body and blood of Christ. There is nothing abstract about tasting. It does not only refer to the spiritual eating or tasting, as Karlstadt confessed with his words, "passionate remembrance, ardent knowledge, experiential taste of the suffering of Christ." Dr. Luther called it a fantasy. The church rejoiced not just the personal presence of Christ at the table of fellowship either. That the Lord is there for there is not yet the gospel. The question is not the personal encounter with him, but if he is there for you. Because mere presence of Christ can result in the judgment. Dr. Luther confessed, "He is there for you when he sets his word there and binds himself to that place, saying, 'Here you are to find me.'" St. Peter said, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." The newly baptized just tasted the body and blood of Christ when they were invited to the Lord's table after receiving the holy baptism. We have also tasted the Lord's body and blood too, yesterday, when the Lord had counted us worthy of his body and blood. Our Lord tasted suffering and death in our place. We get to taste his body and blood as the same Lord distributes his forgiveness and life to us. What a comfort it is to know that when we are tempted, when we face the truth that we are accountable for our sins, When we walk in the darkness, in the shadow of death, the Lord still invites us to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him. St. Peter exhorts us also to look for the pure spiritual milk as newborn babies. Application: come to this chapel often. There are other opportunities daily in Matins and Vespers. Dr. Luther rejoiced to be at the receiving end of his gracious gifts, saying, "The sacrament belongs to him who receives it, not to him who administers it, unless he also receives it. The office of the holy ministry is given not to him who has the office, but to him who is to receive it through this office, except that he can receive it together with you if he so desires." Before going out to vicarage, before being sent out to the place where the Lord puts you in the office, while it is still time, to be only the receiving end, the receivers, take maximum advantage of it, long for it, and enjoy it, so that the same gospel and the sacrament that you receive may be proclaimed and administered to his people and to the world through you. What a blessing it is to be the receiving end of his gifts. As newborn babies, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may increase into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Alleluia. The second week of Easter. Amen.